Good evening and welcome to our evening service. Good to have you folks here with us this evening, and again we welcome those who are on Zoom joining us there. We welcome Gary Kingsley to our pulpit this evening, and we do pray that the Lord would bless as he reads the scripture to us tonight and leads us in prayer, brother.
Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a pleasure to stand here again and given the word of God. Praise be to God who comforts us with his everlasting presence. Psalm 16. The psalmist speaks here of a desired place that gives the most ultimate peace and fullness of joy. And this source of life and eternal security is in the Creator, the one who gives life, who protects us in his presence. Preserve me, O God, for in thee I do put my trust. O my soul, this is Psalm 16, my apologies, book, page number 613 of the pulpit. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee I do put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extends not to thee, which my goodness is nothing apart from you. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellence in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their name into my lips. The Lord is my portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in the pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Lord, into thy presence, we humble ourselves, Lord. We bow our heads because these words do prophesy about your Son, Jesus, who came and died on the cross and was risen again and now sits at the right hand of God. But we have this promise also, Lord, in him, that we have eternal security and eternal hope and eternal peace with thy presence as we walk along the path that you have chosen for us in this world. Your words ring loud and clear that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will always be present and go before us. What comfort this is, what peace this is. And we are blessed to know thy name. So in his precious name, the name above every name given to man, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And say thanks.
Again, we welcome Gary and Lord. May the Lord bless as you. Thank you. Gary, may the Lord bless as you open the word to us.
The presence of the Lord. The message tonight is the presence of the Lord. I got the inspiration for this sermon after reflecting, coming back from fellowship time with some brothers in Christ. We were having a conversation about the power and the presence of God at certain times in our lives. After hearing others, I shared a few of my astonishment moments that I witnessed the presence of the Lord moving with power in me and other people by directing the steps to do things for the glory of God that neither one of us could explain. Yes, when we are weak, He makes us strong. Till this day, I still ponder and wonder. Every believer in Jesus I speak to concerning this subject defines this phenomenon as an intimate, unique, and unexplainable experience. With amazement, I stand in awe at the majesty and the mystery relating to the manifestation of God. These faith-building encounters are reminders of the sovereign power and grace of the Lord God dwelling with His people in a clear and convincing way. I call these God moments the presence of the Lord. We have all had in the past and should comfort us knowing that we serve the same God today, tomorrow, as He was yesterday. God is with us not only in the big moments, but He is also living with us moment by moment in our daily lives. If you don't see Him today working, open your eyes and set your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And you'll see Him, and you won't see you. God's people should write a book about these God moments. I keep telling my wife that. And of the great things that He has done in our lives. But hey, wait a minute. I think He has done one. The Lord has provided. He calls it the Bible. God is good. So this evening I would like to take you on a little journey, letting the words of God reveal the presence of the Lord in the most read book in the world, the living Word of God. Let us go back in time at the beginning. God first revealed Himself in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, in time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. And His Word says in Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare His glory. And in Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Yes, the Lord's presence was right at the beginning of creation in the Trinity. The Holy Father, by His Word and His power, declared His design, laying the foundation. The Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, and His hands, and by His hands the heavens were formed. And God, in His providence, revealed that through His Son, He would uphold all the universe and space and preserve it in this life and time. The presence of the Lord was at the creation of man. Psalms 8:4-5. What is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You visited him? For Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with the glory and honor. The triune God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image, and the image of God created him, male and female, created He them. The Lord's presence was in the Garden of Eden, where God talked where God walked with them and talked with them and called them his own. Genesis 3 tells us they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of cool of day. The Lord's presence was in the burning bush. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the flame of fire. In the midst of the bush, it was not consumed. God called him, and Moses said, "Here I am. I am." And he says, "I am the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Moses asked him his name. And he said, "I am who I am. Tell them that I am sent you." And the Lord was present with Moses on his walk. All through the Bible, the Lord's presence was near his people. And I can go on and go on of how witnesses who live by faith written all through his word, testifying how the Lord's presence preserved and protected his people. God never left them or forsake them who trusted and obeyed in his word. But if they disobeyed or rejected his word and did not abide in his commandments, he withdrew his presence. Because we all know that there was a dark, evil cloud that came in history, and it reminds us that God is holy and he is righteous, and he cannot dwell with sin. The Lord God is separated from the presence of sin. Because of the presence of sin, man fell from the grace of God and became separate, spiritually dead and separated from the presence of the Lord God. We know that after disobeying God's authority and eating of the fruit of the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve's eyes were open to their trespasses towards God and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord in their shame. They tried to excuse and accuse themselves of their sin, but God drove those now mortal beings out from the garden, from the tree of eternal life, and out of the presence of the Lord. They and their children would experience spiritual and physical death because of sin and that dark cloud of evil that was upon the whole earth. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." The presence of sin and death in Genesis continued. We are told the first child on earth became the first murderer. Cain cried out after being caught by God, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, this day you have driven me out away from your face." And the mark of Cain as a fugitive and wanderer on the earth was separated from the presence of God. Now moving along in history, we can find the Lord's presence in the Old Covenant Tabernacle, where his presence and provision and direction came from. The Bible tells us that the Lord had commanded Moses to build and set up a portable tabernacle that would be the temple. And God said, "My presence shall go with thee," and throughout the journey in the wilderness. And in Exodus, the Lord went before man by day in the pillar of a cloud and led them the way, and at night by a pillar of fire and gave them light to go day and night. And the cloud and the fire were manifestations of the presence of the glory of God. The presence of the Lord again dwelt with his people. The Old Covenant Temple. We know after Moses' time, David and his people of God continued to worship God in the tabernacle before his son Solomon built a temple with permanent structure. The tabernacle temple is a picture of God's dwelling place with his people, where the manifestation of the presence of the Lord communed and communicate it with his people. The tabernacle consisted, it was divided in three main parts. The outer court was the way for people to go of God to enter forgiveness for their sins. And inside there was a bronze altar for sacrifice and a laver for cleansing. The holy place, entering through the door of the sanctuary, was where the table of the showbread was, the altar of the incense, and the golden lampstand. This sacred place was only allowed by the priests after cleansing to serve God in truth. And in the inner sanctuary, the holies of holies, which was separated from the holy place by a curtain veil. Behind the innermost part contained the Ark of the Covenant, where the covered mercy seat stood, and the manifestation of the presence of the Lord, the giver of life, appeared with glory to the high priest. And out with the old covenant, they started a new covenant. The Lord gave us a new covenant. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. The presence of the Lord. Jesus said in John 14, 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Just as God dwelt among people in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, and in the temple in Jerusalem, by God's grace and truth, a prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus, the perfect tabernacle, in the manifestation of man, who was the visible manifestation of the presence of the Lord, God Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God with us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Isn't this amazing, seeing the presence of the Lord, the promise fulfilled in Ezekiel 37:27, my tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The perfect temple of the Lord God. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John 1, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Jesus Christ, our spotless perfect Lamb, was the final sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice needed for the atonement of sin. Hebrews 1 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of the person upholding all things in the word with his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. 1 Timothy says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed unto the world, and received up into glory. The cross is where man sees the presence of the Lord. See, the temple served as a copy of a shadow of heavenly things to come, a blueprint, you could say, of the perfect tabernacle of God's plan in salvation through Christ. We must first go to the cross and set our eyes upon Jesus. At the altar of the offering, Jesus was the sacrifice of the Lamb. The brazen laver, Jesus cleanses us. The shadow on the table of showbread was the bread of life. The golden lampstand, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. At the altar of the incense is where Jesus intercedes for us, that when we're praying, and that sweet smell and incense goes up to the Heavenly Father. And the Ark of the Covenant, that's Jesus who was present. And at the mercy seat, Jesus makes reconciliation for us. Now, we also talk about a temple for the Lord in the church. Scripture says that God gave Jesus as the head over all things of the church, which is his body. In Ephesians 1:22, for this reason Jesus, our high priest, and is mediator of the new covenant, and those who are called may receive the promise of eternal life. Now that he had died as a ransom, he had set many free from their sins committed under Adam. There is power in this righteous blood of Christ, the perfect man, which cleanses our conscience and enables us to live a new life, a life serving God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, and he's talking about the church here, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore, ye are no more strangers, no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with all the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon a foundation of the apostles, of the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, we are the temple of the Lord, the church. We are to proclaim him. And in the crisis that we have as a church, we may not have a pastor, but God has provided and he has upheld this place. Blessed be his name. The temple of the Lord's presence in man. 1 Corinthians 3 says this, know ye not that you are the temple of the Lord, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says what? Know ye not that you are the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you? This verse had stopped me from smoking after 30 years. Basically, after reading that verse, I just quit, and that was it. And again, the Holy Spirit working, and I was able to butt it out, and the wife laughed at me and said, yeah, right. But blessed be his name. He continues putting me through the washing machine. The Old Covenant Tabernacle and Temple has three parts. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, the most holy place, symbolizing where the presence of God dwells. The New Covenant Tabernacle Temple of Man also has three parts, and it represents the new creation, the threefold nature of a born-again man and woman. The outer court symbolizes the body, the holy place represents the soul, and the holy of holies, the inner chamber, symbolizes where the presence of the Lord dwells with our quickened spirit he made alive. In Proverbs 20 it says, the spirit of a person is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his heart. But it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. A born again by the Spirit, Jesus said, you must be born again. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is of the flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. When we were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and by the light of his presence, the Spirit of truth, we were born again and we were made alive in our spirit, and we received another comforter, a helper, and he who abides with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because they can neither see him nor know him, but you know him, for he dwells in you. and will be in you. Luke 3:16 says, John said to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, we are renewed by the Spirit. The Old Testament tells us, Ezekiel 36:26, And everyone knows this who is born a believer, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. And I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh, and I will put in my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And the New Testament tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. When I first believed in Jesus, my Savior, there was no firecrackers. But there was a change in heart. The words of my cursing that I used to say on a daily basis left me. My conversations and idols of old left. And there was a change of heart. And that was the firecracker. And old things have passed away. Blessed be His name. He's still putting me through the washing machine. Regenerated by the Spirit, God's mercy put us. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In Ezekiel 36:25, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all impurities and all your idols. See, we are sealed. We have the mark of His love. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. It is written, and I love using that phrase that you said, Rael. And it's the word of the Lord, use it many times. In Ephesians 1:13-14, In Jesus whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of His glory. The guarantee of inheritance. The Spirit itself bear it witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We are one spirit with Christ now, in unity with Him by His grace. The guarantee of eternal life in Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. And remember, that seal and that mark is forever. Lord's presence and provision and direction in the sanctified work of the Holy Spirit. In the mission of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will pray the Father that He gives you another comforter. And He kept His word. that he may abide with you forever. When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. In John 15, 16, 27, but when the helper comes from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will testify of me, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit is our guide. John 16, 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. But whether he hears, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will tell you the things to come. He will speak to you with that inner voice, and you will know his voice, just like you know your wife's voice as she was in a crowd of 50 people. You know your wife's voice. You know the one you love, the Lord. When he speaks, you will hear. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. John 14, 26, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into remembrance that I have said unto you, Jesus says. So he teaches everything about Christ. He doesn't speak about his own authority, but he speaks about the Son's authority. The Holy Spirit is our strength. In Acts 1, 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses until the end of the earth. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Talking to the Spirit brings us comfort in his counsel, might in his wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Walking with the Spirit produces in us fruits listed by Paul in the letters of the Galatians 6:22: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Wow, I got lots of work to do still in me. Well, he has lots of work to do still in me. Abide in the Spirit, abiding in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commandments and abided in his love. Jesus said in John 4:23, the time is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that time is here already. You see, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we have seen and heard how the presence of the Lord is always with his people. He did not leave them. All through history, he did not forsake them. Yes, all through the Bible, the God has revealed himself. He was manifested at the beginning of creation, manifested at the tabernacle and the temple. Then by amazing grace, he was manifested in the flesh. And in these last days after the cross, he again is dwelling with his people, manifested in love, living inside of every born-again believer. The whole Bible, from the Old to the New Testament, yes, testifies about the presence of the Lord, how he is with his people from generation to generation, today, day to day, moment to moment. He walks with us. He talks with us. And he calls us his own. Now, in the old tabernacle, they used to go boldly every morning and evening. So let us go boldly to the throne of grace, that we can obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Yes, come to Jesus at the cross. When you stumble or when you struggle, come to Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Lay down the sacrifices of your sin flesh at the brazen altar of God. Enter into the sacred place, the holy place, and reflect and remember Jesus. Look at the golden lamp and set your eyes upon Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. Not to walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Eat of the table of the showbread and satisfy your soul with the words of Jesus, who said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. Pray at the altar of incense in spirit and truth, that sweet aroma before God, praying always with all requests and supplication, confessing your sins, for he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Humble yourself in the most holy place before the presence of the Lord, where Christ, our high priest and king, sits at the mercy seat. Yes, come to Jesus and find grace and help in time of need. I leave you with this spiritual comfort and wisdom. Be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the presence of the Lord your God goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have heard tonight that from the beginning of time your presence was there at creation. And all through history, we have read your word when you were present with all your people from generation to generation. Oh, how wonderful and glorious to know that you are with us in our walk that you set before us, that you talk to us and you walk with us and you call us your own. What a blessing this is. What amazing grace this is. We thank you for that, Lord. And we ask you to be with us in our struggles and our battles against sin of the flesh, and that we may lay our sacrifice at the brazen altar at the cross and know that we come before our high priest, Jesus Christ, and confess our sins there. And we pray, Heavenly Father, in these trials and times that we live in, that you be with all your people all over the world, that you may give them comfort and strength, and may they know that your presence is near always. I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.